Let's go to John 17. In a general term, remember I told you that John 14, 15, and 16 were the essentially Christ's Haggadah for their Passover. And John 17 was the prayer to the Father about those things that he said. And it corresponds to three parts in John 17. The first five verses are connected with what he said in John 14. Verse 6 through 19 are what he said in 15, and verse 20 through 26 are what he said in 16. Now, really, this is the first time in the Scriptures where, or at least in the Gospels, where we get a glimpse into the Holy of Holies, if you will, the intimacy between the Son and the Father inside the Holy of Holies when his work is completed. And it's to understand this will take you a long way towards being able to see life as they see it, if you can understand this, and therefore to confess him, because you will hear the same things. Remember, what you hear is what you see. You see is what you do. And so the whole mystery of obedience in the spirit world, or actually the true meaning of obedience, is this: to know. So we receive, we believe, we know. Now it's time to know. Because otherwise you're going to be deceived every single second. Because your mind's purpose is to deceive you, to always keep you separate from the source of life. Anybody understand that?
It's your mind and everything out that you can look at.
Our thinkers.
Yeah.
Well, it's perception. If you could see, then you would see only Christ, because the veil is taken off. But if you can't see, then everything is the enemy of mystery. Who is blind but my servant? Blind to what? Blind to seeing after the flesh. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Again, we look, and whenever we look, we see the perfection of holiness, the New Jerusalem. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Also is not in the text, because it's not, Christ isn't worried about him being glorified. He said, glorify thy Son, that the Father would be glorified. Yeah. Lack of the I motive. You can never really separate the work of the Trinity. The Father empties himself into the Son. The Son is dependent totally on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit operates at the behest of the Father only to reveal the Son. It doesn't matter whether it was the first day of creation or the last day of time. You can never separate and take and say that the Father is doing something independent of the Son, or the Spirit is doing something that isn't for the advancement of the mystery of the Son. If you can hear that, then when you look at the Scriptures, when you pray, when you understand, when you see, And you'll see always the Trinity at work. But not for the benefit of man, it's for the benefit of the Father. What? You're doing it again. No. You're going in your mind.
I'm looking right at you, though.
I know you are.
Your works.
No, I'm considering what you said about the Trinity and why do we separate it? I guess we have to look at it. But once we've looked at it...
You don't have to separate it to look at it either.
Well, it's already separated because of the conversation in the Scriptures. It talks about it in three persons. He talks about the Father and I are one.
Well, it's done that way, so you could have the capacity to look at them differently. So you can pray for the anointing so you can get stuff, or you know, so that you can believe there's some kind of a unity. We're all the children of God, or some other horse hockey. And this mystery here, if we can understand John 17, it should settle forever these vain attempts at ecumenicism. We're all worshiping the same God. No, you're not. If you think suffering is strange, you're worshiping a God of your own invention. What?
You're a harsh man.
What does that have to do with me? Why'd you say that?
Because it's just kind of harsh to say what you just said. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's kind of harsh.
The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You've got to see that the gift of God is eternal life. But eternal life has nothing to do with the future. It's the capacity to live life in the eternal now, so that there is never a past or a future. There's only now. And there isn't even a nanosecond of past. So if you're thinking about what's been said, again, that's a childish thing, then you've taken God where he isn't. It's like...
But childish things are not evil.
Except if you're... They're goofy. If you saw your son sitting outside playing in a dollhouse,
yeah.
If you saw when I was
in the context we're in here, it's like if you say something and it triggers some...
Then I want you to talk. Then I want you to stop everything and talk about it instead of dwelling on it privately.
Well, apparently, nobody ever in the room here considers what you say other than they're just sitting here in the wind or something.
It's probably true a whole lot of the time because our minds are elsewhere. Even if they're elsewhere from a second or a nanosecond ago, then we're not of all in the same place at the same time. That's why I try over and over to get you to say, instead of sitting and thinking about it, to say what it is, it's the transaction that's taking place, so that it is a common salvation instead of a salvation of self. That's again, that's why I can't overemphasize the importance of you being, and therefore if your mind is taking away, if the mind leaves for a minute, you must, I've been doing this for 30 years, right? I stop everything if I see someone wander. If we don't, we're wasting the opportunity that God has given us as a body. Does that communicate?
Well, I personally, if you say something and I'm considering it for a moment, you know, I may or may not speak depending on whether I'm moved to speak, and if there's something there that...
What moves you to speak?
I pray it's God Himself. And I don't hold back what I think. I'm not afraid to speak. And so there's a question here. I don't disagree with what you say either. It's like, yes, prophecy, spontaneity, explosions, whatever. I'm not opposed in any way.
Then why wouldn't you feel that it was God that was prompting you to say whatever transaction is going on?
Well, I assume that's His choice. You know, either He does or He doesn't. And if I'm moved to speak, I will speak. And I don't think anybody's any different. I don't think you're any different. You don't say everything that you're thinking.
But I do when I'm teaching.
Yeah, and I do too when I'm teaching.
But I do if I'm being taught. If somebody is saying something, you must have seen the times when you were teaching, or Judy, or John, or Josanna, and I came in the room. It creates a mess.
That's true. That's why you don't get in
back. But I promise you, I mean, I did this in churches, no matter where I was, since I've been a believer. If they were talking about God stuff and something happened, I would speak it. I wouldn't let a transaction take place in my mind, because that's part of the mystery that I saw, that I can't learn anything. I can't massage it. I can't fix it. I can only be totally empty. And if there's something that's there, then I have to speak it. That's what I pray, and I know it's so opposite from everything that we've, you know, that we've, from our whole life experience. You know, raise your hand if you want to speak.
Don't interrupt the teacher.
Don't interrupt. You know, well, I want you. You must know by now. I want you to interrupt. So again, I mean that. Right now, especially, and it talks about here, so that they may be one as we are one. The only way Christ was one is by His total abandonment of self, total emptying. And the whole process then became, if I took a whole bunch of different types of seeds, like I took seeds from tomatoes and apples and you know, pecans and walnuts and everything, and I had a whole bag full of seeds, and I could shake them all around and do everything I wanted with them, but they'd just be a bag full of seeds. They could never be one. The only way that we can be one with Him is when we partake of the same nature, this eternal life. We can't be one with each other. We already are one with each other. But the thing that's keeping us from manifesting oneness is this tendency for wanting to get it right, for wanting to be able to say something without, you know, without risking that you might be wrong. And so the whole... The bottom line of John 17 of the Lord's Prayer is that they may be one as we are one. Now, that oneness has to have a transaction, and the transaction is always Him. It's not what you think about Him. You can never, ever, ever use this thing which is cursed to gain that which is blessed.
This is the ongoing struggle. I hate to use that word, but it is like the ongoing battle of not allowing yourself to go inward, but
that's the Lord's Prayer, remember?
Yeah.
Lead us not into temptation. Lead us never inward. But deliver us from the evil one. That's the disciples' prayer. Hopefully we've got that one down. I mean, we had an experience yesterday. Harry was mad at me for something from some time earlier. And then he did something else. And then pretty soon all hell broke loose. And it's like, if you're mad at me for something, you got to tell me. You can't let it gel. Maybe we should do it the other way. If there's ever a time when you're not mad at me, then you should talk. This is real. I mean, this is where the the short hairs are. This is where the battlefield, the battle is enjoined. Because if you can't do it here, where you can just be instead of sitting and thinking about being, then you can never be when you leave here.
Where the fine filters take place, like in here.
But God doesn't see him as fine filters. God sees him as total blocks. He sees him as a dam. That's where you are damming up the mystery of Christ by you. You deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. And it's dangerous to do this. But that's what faith is. Faith is never safe. It's perfect safe when you see, but it always seems to be not safe. But this is, again, I'm sorry we keep talking about this, but it's what Bulger and I have been talking about so much, about integrity. You've got to understand integrity from God's standpoint is that there is not an instant, there's not a nanosecond between thought and speak. Between, it's bam! It's just be. Because otherwise, if I'm having a transaction with this, then I am trying to appropriate it for me. It doesn't matter. Well, I don't want to do that, or I'm not trying to do that. It doesn't matter. It's what you do. It's the nature of the thing.
What about when you're by yourself?
What about it?
You have nobody to talk to. I mean, you have thoughts, you contemplate, you consider, Selah, something happens. And I know you've talked about if you think you just speak in tongues. Stop it.
When I start thinking, I speak in tongues. And that's been that way since the beginning. Well, what if I don't speak in tongues? What if I haven't gotten it? Well, then believe me, and people are going to hear this thing, I have nothing against thinking. But take it to the end. Let it go all the way with it. You know, we've talked about this before. Come now, let us reason together. Everybody uses that as a justification for little conferences and stuff. The highest that reason can take you is that you are the chief of sinners. Your sin is as scarlet. So, what else is there to think about? That's why when the Holy Spirit has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. They rely not on me. Of judgment, because the prince of the world has already been judged. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. There's nothing left. You can't get beyond those. So if you're still thinking about it, you're trying to appropriate it in such a way that you can use it. And if you're not, I mean, that's why it's critical. I never want you to believe me. I don't care if you believe me about anything. But I want you to have the integrity that if I say something that you don't understand or you don't believe or you think is BS, that the instant response is what Rutledge used to do. Rutledge spent 3 years standing up saying, "Oh, that's bullshit, Ollie." And I loved it. Huh?
I thought you hated it.
When?
You used to get pissed off at him because he did that.
Well, because he did it the same issue over after we just proven the cross. Yeah. He did it then the same issue again.
It doesn't matter because that was your response.
Yeah.
Whether it
was but the point of it is you can't... This isn't like a little schoolroom. This is a place of testing, of pushing. You can't sit here and learn anything. You've got to know that by now.
And this is that ultimate experience of encountering the temptation of the snake, so to speak, of trying to judge, want to judge good and evil, determine whether it's going to be accepted. People will laugh at me. What I say is smart.
Well, I mean, you know, you've all seen people. They sit and wait for the opportune time, and it's become a habit because they did it when they were in kindergarten. They wait for the opportune time so they can get an attaboy. You know, when you saw that when you were a kid, you hated it. Unless you were doing it. You understand what I'm talking about? So, no, there are not going to be any attaboys. This isn't about attaboys. This is about being conformed to the image of Christ. Or do you? I tell you what I can do. I can just ignore it when I see you do it. No, I can do that. I could ignore it when I see you go into yourself. What I told Harry yesterday is what has happened over the years, and this is critical. What has happened over the years is people are afraid to exhort him because he blows up. And I asked him what he would do if I wasn't here when no one else exhorts him. Well, it's true at this more subtle level. What would you do? What do I mean, somebody's got to take over. You can't let anybody sit there in eating their own vomit is what they're doing. Or eating somebody else's vomit, which is even worse. Do we have to go on a field trip like we used to in Bananas or take you out and show you a dead cow and that's you? Watch it rot or take you out and after a dog had taken a and thrown up and rub your nose in it. What did Ezekiel have to do for this? He had to lay on his side and eat barley cakes baked with his own dung to show Jerusalem what they were doing. Do you not understand that? Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And that's everything that he said as a prayer in the 14th chapter of John. It's big. There's no way to overemphasize the importance of this glimpse into the heart or the Holy of Holies. I pray that if you understand, you see, if you see, you exhort. If you see, you do nothing but prophesy and get rid of the pagan idea that you're here to learn something. I don't even have a high school diploma. I have no credentials. You'd be a fool to think you could learn anything from me. What we're about is trying to expose, make manifest that which you already know, but is being held in by all of the templates of your life that have protected you thus far. All of the imagined needs and wants that you have. We didn't get very far. No, it's the point of it was my fault. I'm the one that interrupted it when I saw him go away in his mind. And again, I treat Gary and Rutledge harsher than I do anybody. Because you're Gary, the elders.
Gary speaks more than most in here, so there's really, I see his response, which is that all of us need to...
all of us need to be like Gary, no.
No.
All of us need to be whatever you are. It's not... It's just being, instead of trying to be, isn't...
Not that complicated.
What?
It's not that complicated. We make no, it...
But you have to think about it. Well, I need to... If I say it this way...
The thing that comes through real loud and clear to me, what you said in the last 20 minutes, which is, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it to enhance yourself or protect yourself or advance yourself or whatever. You're not searching for wisdom or any of that crap. It's pure self-seeking. I can hear that. I know that's true.
It's either self-seeking or really the other side of the coin of protecting self.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid I'll yell at you or something. And I just wanted to do what we did this morning, because Gary's response when I stopped him was, well, I'm looking right at you. Well, I don't care whether you're looking at me. It's like I feel a black hole when you do it.
You know that quote you sent me about
Hawthorne's quote?
I've really had a lot of fun with that. I've sent it to a lot of my friends, and they responded. And it just kind of caused a little email explosion of stuff going around. But it's basically this very topic of expressing without varnish the absolute truth and for me, it goes to Jeremiah of not fearing men's faces. You know, and for many years, of course, your face was the one that I feared. But I fear all men's faces in the flesh. But that has been the struggle of getting way beyond that, so it's not even a thought. That, so that truth can actually come out, because otherwise, I'm the biggest filter there is to it.
I know that you hate this, because there are so many ways that you can rationalize silence. Let me tell you something. I tried them all, because I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to. And I tried them all.
Tried not to speak.
I don't know the answers. I don't know how to break those templates that are keeping you quiet and keeping you. It's really in fear. It's either in fear or you despise it so much that it's not worthy of giving it your time. You understand the difference?
I want you to say something more about that.
Well, you don't believe any of this anyway. You just despise it. And so you just are doing us a favor by being here. Oh. And the way you know that somebody's doing that is because it's when people start making excuses for me. That just drives me crazy. Are when people talk about, how I am to other people, and then they make little excuses to each other. And that's minuscule, but that's importance, but it's an obvious thing that there's a part of this doctrine into which we've been delivered that you despise. You hate the cross. And it's not surprising. You want to hear. We've talked before about the reasons that these mega churches are so popular. Barney did a survey, and I think I told you, but there are three things, the reason that the mega churches are so popular. One is anonymity. You would never have anybody do what I do to you here. Two is you feel good. It makes your future feel good. And third is amusement, entertainment. Now, can you imagine? And again, those are the top three by far reasons that people go to these huge mega churches. Now, talk about childish things. I'm not saying they're not saved, but I'm just saying, talk about the childish things of what that means. And I don't care if they want to do that, that's fine. But I don't want you here because you want to have anonymity, or you want to be amused, or you want to make your future sound good. It's like what happened with Harry yesterday. I tried to make him see the danger that he was in by continuing that pattern, but the instant solution that's there. And the danger you're in is always manifest. That's why anytime there's prophecy in the scripture, it's always about this incredible danger that you're in, and then the instant solution. Any response?
Sorry, my response is
feel like that, you know, like praying the wrong prayer or something.
Well, I doubt if you've been praying the wrong prayer, but you've probably been praying a childish prayer. And that's why I want you to leave the childish things. When we celebrated the fast of Ab as a feast instead of a fast, that was, from my perspective, that was a turning point in the body. Okay. It means that you can now say, I have divorced the childish things. I have given the bondwoman and her son a bill of divorcement. Because if not, then you have to mourn for the destruction of your Jerusalem. Even if it's the one that you see as evil, you will mourn for it. You'll have to turn your furniture upside down because you're mourning for something that you want back. You see the subtlety of it? So that's why you cast out the bondwoman and her son. The bondwoman and her son are bondwoman and her child, because it's any kind of the world of cause and effect, the world of anything but pure grace. So Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all, is free. You can be totally free. I can't imagine. Some of you, you've never known the freedom of being, because your entire life has been spent in trying to be. Now, what I hope and pray that I can give you is a taste of the freedom of just being. You can't live in faith without being. The I am can have no modifiers, and we are the feminine of the verb I am. Therefore, you cannot say I'm new, I'm old, I'm young, I'm black, I'm white, I'm male, I'm female, I'm hungry. That's why the I am, and we are co-inheritors with him, we own all things. The I am can never have a modifier. It can just be I am. If you really understand that, there's nothing that'll make your brain hurt worse than that. That's worse than talking about the concept of zero or the meaning of language. Because that's why the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. There's nothing that you want to be different. There's nothing that you want to change. But everything in this thing that we call our mind and emotions, it wants to revert to some time gone by when things were better. Harry would give his right testicle to revert to the time before he met Oli. But it's really to revert to the time before you met the Jesus that wasn't the Jesus of your own image. When he's confronted, it's like, and you must fall on that rock, because if you don't, the rock will fall on you. And all that preaching the cross is to cause you to fall on the rock without condition, and to present yourself, yield yourself the living sacrifice without condition. Then if that transaction has taken place, and it is taking place, then there is never again a trying to be. Because if you're still trying to be something or do something, then you haven't yielded yourself as a living sacrifice. You still are living in idolatry, because you have an image of you, or an image of what you want to happen. Does that tie things together for you? So I don't care if you get mad at me. I don't care. But what I care about is if you wait 6 hours or 3 weeks or 3 months to tell me.
This is why, to me, what we're talking about is Trinity explosion. You know, that you've talked about. It's like we chop away all the imagery and the idolatry, and we get down to this essential place where God is. In the moment, and it's so tiny and small and perfect, but then the minute we see it, it explodes into everything. And it is that atomic reaction, and that's where we prayerfully, our life is.
And yeah.
That place we speak and live. And
to explain that for those that haven't been here a while, I mean, that's why Trinity Foundation is named Trinity, because it's named after the first atomic bomb. Because it's the experience that I had with the Father and revealing His Son in me was a jillion times bigger than that atomic bomb. But it was the same transaction, because for a millisecond, you remove time, and that's what caused the huge explosion. And they were right. The scientists were right. When I was a kid, everybody thought that the atomic bomb was going to cause the end of the world, because it was going to cause a chain reaction which would destroy the entire universe because of the theory of atomic fission and fusion. That's right.
Yeah.
It's just a little slower than they thought. Noah condemned the world with his obedience. We must create the same low pressure zone in us, so that there is only being. That's how the disciples turned the world upside down. And that's what I want from you. I want you to be of that people that are so empty that there isn't, it's only Him. That's what I wanted from the day that I first started teaching. This isn't, please, if you think you're going to learn something here, you're a fool. Or if you're going to learn something from listening.
That's so funny, the opposites there, that man wants to be filled with all the fullness after his own understanding. God wants us to be empty without anything. The gospel is perfectly hidden.
Yeah, because it can't be. It can't be shared. Come on in, so we're done. All right, take a big guy.